This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. And we're very pleased to be joined by Ann Stevenson Yang. She is co-founder of J Capital Research Limited, author of China Alone, The Emergence From and Pending Return to Isolation. And a very good day to you. Reuters reports, China's central bank has asked major state-owned banks to be prepared to sell dollars for the local unit in offshore markets as it steps up efforts to stem the yuan's descent. This is according to four sources with knowledge of the matter. The yuan descent includes this number, which surprised me when I read it for the first time, 7.189 yuan to the dollar. I remember the days 7.1849. I remember the days, Anne, when the yuan was below 7 and 7 was regarded as a red line. We'll never cross that. Is that useless now that 7 plus is routine? Good evening to you, Anne.
Good evening. It's peculiar because, you know, it would actually be good for Chinese exports to let the currency depreciate, but they're terrified about capital flight. And they also, you know, they're facing a situation where domestic demand has really plummeted. So if they don't have exports, what are they going to have?
And therefore, it's acceptable that the yuan is now existing above 7. There's no panic in Beijing in your measure.
Well, it's actually surprising how anxious they are about this line. It clearly shows that they don't trust people not to take their money out, because they shouldn't panic. I mean, they have that big wall of U.S. currency, but they are panicking.
And Gordon, you tell me that they have an enormous reserve of foreign capitals to intervene. Is that accurate, Gordon?
Well, John, the State Administration of Foreign Exchange, which actually administers China's foreign currency reserves, reports that now China has a smidgen over $3 trillion of foreign exchange reserves. But my question is whether all of the assets in the reserve actually meet the definition, the IMF definition of reserves as being liquid. My sense is that they've got stock investments and they've got Belt and Road loans in the reserves, counted as reserves, but really are not liquid and therefore not available for a defense of the currency.
You have a question for Anne.
Anne, what is your sense of the composition of the foreign exchange reserves, assuming that the number is correct? Do you think it's liquid or do you think that there are assets in there which are more of long-term nature?
Yeah, I think that there are assets in there that are of a more long-term nature and are overvalued publicly. That doesn't mean that they don't have some ammunition with which to defend the currency. But, you know, people are always talking about how terrifying it would be if China sold U.S. dollars. In reality, if you sell U.S. dollars, you have to buy some other U.S. dollar denominated assets. So it doesn't have a huge effect. The real problem for the Chinese right now is that they're fighting a war against themselves. So they need to add liquidity to the domestic economy in order to stimulate, but they need to tighten liquidity in order to hold on to the currency. So they're kind of screwed.
And I get anecdotes of people doing business on the mainland. One particular anecdote, I wonder if it applies in this. Suddenly, after the zero COVID lockdowns, these are in the big manufacturing cities along the coast, you understand, electronics. Suddenly, mm-hmm. There are cold calls from manufacturers. Do you need this or that product? We can get it for you in this or that timeline. And we have supply chains that work. We can get it to Europe or the United States, and we're softening our prices, we're weakening our prices for business. What have you got for us? Now, I'm told that that's unusual. That might be unprecedented. Is that part of the anxiety in Beijing? And does that connect in some fashion to this worry about the yuan?
Well, I think the weakness of the domestic economy and domestic demand generally is a pretty serious concern. Clearly, the property market continues to be very low. The Chinese have issued, just yesterday, they issued a whole lot of stimulus measures for property, still on the claim that it's for new property buyers. There really aren't a lot of new property buyers in China. And anyway, you know, why would they buy property at this point? Demand for cement, demand for iron ore, demand for copper, really, really weak right now. So yeah, the Chinese are really worried about this. And I think that there over the summer, people got more optimistic. And a lot of people started to hoard products because they thought that they would be in short supply, like particularly types of semiconductors. And then they found, oops, we have like double international demand in our storehouses.
Gordon, another anecdote I read, I think it was in Reuters, but I'm not certain, that suddenly there's actual cancellation of container ships. There's not enough coming out or not enough demand in Europe and the United States. Is that part of the anxiety in Beijing, putting this together with manufacturers having slack time on their production lines?
Yeah, I think you're right, John. You know, when we look at exports, which have been the primary prop for the Chinese economy over the last, let's say, half a year, export growth looks like it's slackening. And if that means exports are going, they don't really have very much to keep things going because, as Anne pointed out, internally, the economy is very weak for a number of factors. So, yeah, the freight rates, which have plummeted recently, I think is a real indication of weakness in China and other places.
You have a question for Anne.
Anne, we've just passed the end of the third calendar quarter. That means the National Bureau of Statistics eventually will come up with a number for GDP growth for Q3. Two questions. What do you think they will report? And the second question is, what do you think the real number is?
Yeah, good questions. I think that the real number has got to be in the under 3%, probably in the range of sort of 2.8. I think that July and August were quite good for the economy. Demand rebounded a bit. But the economy had been running at 2.5%. They have a big target to meet. They're not going to meet that target, and they've already admitted they're not going to meet that target, but they'll probably report something above that because I've noticed that an awful lot of the public statistics on air travel, on consumption, you know, all sorts of things have disappeared from the public databases.
And you mentioned the property market, new money available for loans, now people not interested in loans. Does that translate into unemployment? Are those buildings that are not being built now laying off people or just discouraging workers?
That is true. You know, we don't know what the real unemployment rate is in China, but an awful lot of people are or have been employed in construction, and so the decline in construction means a decline in employment. This is part of the anxiety around exports as well, because if you don't export and you don't build, where are you going to get employment? You're not. You're going to have high unemployment.
And Gordon, this is all coming at the time for the 20th Party Congress. Just a few seconds. Does this discourage in any fashion the celebration of Xi Jinping or business as usual?
Well, Xi Jinping is going to celebrate in a big fashion in his own way. But nonetheless, I don't think the Chinese people are in any mood right now for a lot of celebration.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. And we thank Anne Stephenson Yang, co-founder of J Capital Research Limited, author of China Alone, The Emergence From and Pending Return to Isolation. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.